Kathleen, and this is episode 130 of ThriftyCast.
And also Eric.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I was so focused on the number. I was like, I have to remember the number that I forgot you.
What number is it again?
130.
Okay. Not bad. It's been a good long time since we recorded. It's been like, what, 6-7 weeks?
Yeah, and if we counted the number of times that we plan to record, we would be, like, our number would be impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Because we made plans a lot, but we just didn't follow through.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's like that.
Sometimes it is. Sorry, just taking a sip of my iced tea. It's warm here today.
We got up to, like, I think it was 54 or something, and rainy and stormy. So another kind of creepy, climate changey kind of day in Wisconsin.
Yeah, low 60s here and gonna storm later, but it's a little stuffy inside, so.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you.
But how you been?
Good. One thing I was kind of looking forward to talking about was this Route 66 road trip that I took.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just under a week. Patrick and I just got in the car and we were like, we're just going to do Route 66. And hit a few thrift stores along the way. And all of the thrift stores were duds. All of them.
I feel like we've talked about this before. I feel like vacation thrifting is hard.
Yes.
And it's never, like, you have high hopes for it, and it's rarely good.
Yep. You know, I was hoping for sort of stuff that would have been, like, local to that area, showing up at thrifts. You know, that's kind of the stuff you hope for. But went to a few Goodwills, and they were so, like, boutique-y that it was a problem.
Yeah.
You know, if, I don't know, if somebody's, like, a big clothes person, it probably would be fine. But it was, like, there was one we went in I think it was, like, Joplin, Missouri, that was, like, it felt like walking into the Gap. Like, they had clothes divided up. But then there was, like, a shelf in the back that had, like, 5 ugly plates on it.
Great.
Yeah, I was like, what on earth? We went to, in Albuquerque, we went to a junk shop. And Albuquerque was like the end of our trip. Like that we stopped at Albuquerque. We didn't go all the way to LA. Just didn't have the time to do that. So, but in Albuquerque, we went into this, it was labeled as a thrift store when we said thrift stores near us in Google. And it was one of those shops filled with not very interesting junk at very high prices.
Oh, it's the worst of the worst.
Yeah, like comically high prices, actually.
Right. Like all the bad, none of the good.
Yep. The thing about the road trip, though, it was great as far as, you know, it's Route 66, so it's very vintage-y. The thing about the tone of the trip, and this is going to sound terrible, but it was actually really interesting, but it was very post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because a lot of Route 66 doesn't exist anymore. So especially when we're in, like, central Illinois, you're on this, like, frontage road. And then there's this sort of crumbling strip of concrete next to you that's the original Route 66.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of photos of me standing next to crumbling strips of concrete. And it was pretty snowy when we were going there. So the landscape was, until we got further south, the landscape was like snowy and bleak. But once we got to, like, Oklahoma and Texas, it was just brown and bleak.
Nice. Nice change.
You know, saw a lot of those sort of great old businesses, but it's hard. It's like even, I think a lot of the Route 66 tourism is sort of dying out.
Yeah.
So even once you get to, like, say, Tucumcari, New Mexico, you can tell that there were all these, that it was vibrant at some point, and now it's like these burnt out, kind of like uninhabited buildings with like a couple of cool hotels and like a tourist stand And because it's right over the Texas border in Tucumcari, 5 weed dispensaries in a town of like, you know, and everybody from Amarillo, Texas was apparently just driving there to get their weed. And that's like the business there now. So again, it just, so much of it just had this weird sort of post-apocalyptic feel.
I did part of Route 66 years ago. Well, I drove all of New Mexico, but I drove kind of a square around New Mexico. And then I've driven parts of it in California and parts of it in Arizona. And obviously parts of it in Illinois. But yeah, it does. I mean, it's melancholy. because you're looking at something that, yeah, is long gone. And I think even the people who are interested for a lot of it are aging out of kind of an active fandom, if that's a way to put it.
Yeah.
But I took pleasure in the things that are still there, the things that people have made an effort to keep going or to revive. But yeah, it is kind of a sad thing.
Like I said, for me, it wasn't, I don't know that I would call it sad. It was just like science fiction-y.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that I kind of liked, actually. You know, when I say post-apocalyptic, that may sound bad, but it was just this really, I don't know. There was a highway from between Tucumcari and Las Vegas, New Mexico, not Nevada. It was this highway that cut through, and we went on that route at the recommendation of the hotel manager. We stayed at this place called the Roadrunner, which was absolutely adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed in room number 7, which had this great mid-century motif. It was adorable. Mm-hmm. But the hotel manager, who was absolutely lovely, was like, hey, you should take this road. It was the loneliest, cry your eyes out stretch of highway maybe ever.
That is a lot of New Mexico's highways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like you're at the end of the world. Time-wise and geographically.
Yeah.
So that was a big part of what's happened. Right now, here at Ginger Snap Acres, one of the things that we're dealing with is the... we always have those Asian lady beetles. They always just randomly show up. But we're coming into peak season, and I woke up this morning just in time to have one fly into my ear canal.
Oh, God.
It was awful.
It's not trapped in there, is it?
No, but that was what terrified me. So, of course, I jumped out of bed and literally, like, held my head down and hopped to the bathroom.
Oh, God.
Yeah, hoping I could shake it out. It didn't work. I was able to get a pair of tweezers and just sort of, like, bink, like, get it out. Yeah, that was my morning. I don't recommend it.
No, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, that was awful. But anyway, so, again, sort of a little bit post-apocalyptic, I thought.
Yeah. So I went to see my mother for my vacation.
Uh-huh.
Post-apocalyptic. It was Florida. I, too, did some bad thrifting. And actually, you know, the funny thing is my mom did great thrifting for her. She moved into a new condo at the end of last season. So she has been, this season, she's discovered Facebook Marketplace.
Ooh.
And she is like outfitting the place on Facebook Marketplace and supplementing it with the thrift store, which is great. I'm so glad.
Well, your mom's so discerning.
She's a little picky. Yeah.
She's real picky. Like, yeah. And I'm really thrilled for her that she's actually finding things that sort of fit in with everything else.
Yeah, I mean, my mom does not rock a vintage aesthetic as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's easier. I think she's also gotten maybe a little more relaxed about some of that as she's gotten older, which is nice. She's not maybe quite as picky. But it was fun going to thrift stores with her because she's like, would this work? Would this work? I'll buy this. She bought two lamps with lampshades at one store.
Oh.
She bought art. She bought, oh, the rug was not from the thrift store. She was looking for a little rug for the dog to sit on or lay on. And we didn't find it, but we did find it somewhere else. So that was nice. I did not find things. Some of it is it had to meet a pretty high bar, which is I had to bring it home. So I had to like it enough to successfully bring something home unless it was small and unbreakable and easy to pack. And I just did not see anything. We also only went to four stores one day and I was like, that's enough. I'm good. We don't need to do any more. So that was fine. It's fun to see what's there. Probably we only went to four, but we went to a good Salvation Army, which was really big, had lots of stuff. And we went to, it was like super, super teen challenge thrift or something.
So weird.
It was weird. That's where she got the lamps. But that one was fun. They had a ton of furniture and it was just, it was probably the closest to a village, but with more furniture. But like the houseware section was a little chaotic and I like that.
Yeah.
A little messy in places. Just feels like you can find better stuff. So that was my little thrifting adventure on vacation.
Did you have the experience that I didn't, where the thrifts were filled with stuff that was very Florida-like? Like a lot of rattan furniture, a lot of seashell lamps, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no seashell lamps, but I definitely, people, especially because so many people there have a condo or something that, I want to say they sort of furnish on the fast in a deeper side. So there is a lot of like palm tree art and beach art and things that are beach themed. So yes, I definitely saw more of that there than I would here. But I mean, you can find beach themed stuff here in Chicago when it doesn't really seem like that's the vibe.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say one more thing about Florida. Oh, I did, though, not thrift related. I did get to see flamingos, which was awesome. Because of the last hurricane, a little group of flamingos got kind of blown off course and maybe have taken up residence there.
Oh.
Which is cool. Because they didn't really have flamingos that just lived there, you know, passing through, but not really living there. So this rookery island that we took a boat trip one day. This rookery island had, I don't know, maybe 12 or so on it. We also saw them flying while we were on the trip. So that was really cool. And I got to see a roseate spoonbill, which is my favorite bird. It's a big pink bird with a very distinctive bill. And I also saw it on that boat trip. So that's very exciting for me. Yeah. It's old people fun.
Well, I mean, it's good to have a favorite bird. Everybody should have a favorite bird.
Yeah, think about your favorite bird tonight. Well, mine is the rosy spoonbill.
And mine is the indigo bunting. Thank you.
Is it?
Oh, I love the indigo bunting. It's like the best of all the birds, yeah.
My mom's always wanted to see one. And we go to a place there where you can see them, but there's never been one there when we've been there. It's a nature preserve.
Yeah. I was standing out in my yard one day, and one just flew by me, and I was like, am I hallucinating this?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, so that's what was up with me. It was very nice. It was nice to be in warm weather and just consistently for a week, did a bunch of reading and yeah, very nice.
Yeah. What are you reading?
I just finished a book called Wayward, which I did not love. Everything I read about it was, this book is so amazing. You'll love this book. And now I am reading An Oral History of Hollywood from AFI, American Film Institute interviews, like put together, you know, cut up interviews, kind of make it a more chronological story.
Who wrote Wayward?
Which is very, who wrote that book? I don't know. I can look and see if I have it near me.
That's fine. Oh, just what genre is it?
Yeah, I do not have it near me. I'm going to call it historical fiction with a dash of, it's about witches, but it's about like healing witches, women who were persecuted as witches, but it there's a story in the 1600s, there's a story in the 30s and 40s, and then there's a modern day story. All, you know, wrapped together.
Yeah. I got through my public library the audiobook for A Court of Thorn and Roses, which is another one of those books that people seem to love, and it's super popular, and it flies off the shelves. I was listening to it, and I'm like, oh, this better not become a bodice ripper. This better not become, like, fantasy romance. And I was about 38% of the way through it, and then it hit. Like, the bad romance tropes hit. And so I ended up not finishing it. It wasn't for me. I just wasn't into it. Any book where there's a character named Lucien, I should just stay away from.
I felt that way about, oh God, what's that? It's a TV show now. Is it Highland? Not Highlander. That's not right.
Yeah.
But it's a woman. She goes back in time. Oh God. There's a bunch of books.
Outlander. Outlander?
Yes, it's that. Okay. Whatever that is.
Yes, yeah.
And people that I know and trust were like, oh, it's so good. No, it's not a bodice ripper. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And I read the whole first book because I had it. But I was like, yeah, this is not my thing. I'm not reading any more of this. So, yeah.
If I'm going to read a romance, it's going to be like Jackie Collins. Like, I'm gonna go deep into that realm. So actually talking about books, probably a good segue to Find of the Week.
Yeah. So it's hard because I have a Find of the Week that I've saved from when you and I thrifted together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Finds of the Week from this weekend. So, cause I thrifted on Saturday. So
give us all of it.
Okay. So my first Find of the Week is, I'm going to call it a tourist base, something that you would have hoped to have found on your travels.
And that was the fantasy. Right? Yes. I wanted to find one of those swirly. Yes.
Yeah. It's swirly. It may be Native American made. It may not. They were made by tons of companies, but they were sold outside of tourist sites, at gas stations, mostly in the Southwest and West. There are some company names. Garden of the Gods had their own line. This has no markings on it, but it is a nice green brown mixture, and it's a size I didn't have. I have a little collection of them, maybe 7 or 8. And I think it was $290 or $390. I think $290. Mm. But that was from a couple weeks ago when you were here and we thrifted. And then yesterday, I found one of those Pyrex, the Ditsy Daisy or whatever, the little daisies.
The green one?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's going to drive me nuts. I don't think they're daisies.
It's not, yeah, that's not the
right one. But I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like an olive green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. This bowl is perfect. And it was $2.90.
Oh, sweet.
It's so lovely. And I'm not a Pyrex person, but I just really liked it. Mm-hmm. So I bought it. So that was they had a butter dish of that. They had a couple other bowls with the handles, but they were missing the lids. And they had one other thing. And all of that, the butter dish was the cheapest. It was $1 something. And the other ones were also $2.90. Not jacked up prices at all on those. So that was pretty exciting.
That's phenomenal.
And then I posted some Easter eggs yesterday, which are paper mache made in Western Germany,
mm-hmm.
which was cool. Yeah. And I found those too. So it was a good day.
Yeah.
What about
you? On a related note, my favorite thrift and the one I always go to is the St. Vinny's in Oshkosh now. That's the one where I consistently have the best luck. And not that it's great every time, but if I have really good luck, it's going to be there. Right.
Uh-huh.
So one thing I noticed, they have their aisle that's sort of like expensive stuff by housewares. And for a long time, the most beat up dishwasher abused Pyrex was going for exorbitant. Like really high prices. Now they have this janky Tupperware that they're putting out. It's like that somebody's getting memos about what's trendy and they're just overpricing it and then it doesn't sell. This thrift also has an area back in the corner for like the like more vintage stuff, whatever. So I looked at their books and didn't find anything good, but then they had a bunch of books back there. My find of the week is I found a copy of It Couldn't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis. And, you know, around 2016, for some reason, people were really talking about this book a lot. Because it's about a problematic leader, apparently. And so, you know, I've always been curious to read it. And I found this beautiful old vintage copy of it.
I really like that. That section they have, that vintage section, because stuff back there is not necessarily ridiculously expensive.
Yes.
It's what they think is vintage, which sometimes they're right and sometimes they're not.
Yep.
But I have found some really good things back there, mm-hmm. and they use the same pricing structure, the same like colored tags. So when they go on sale, they go on sale, mm-hmm. If there's anything left. But I've gotten a good vase or two back there. Couple Christmas ornaments. Like it's always fun to look back there.
Mm-hmm.
Better some stores that are like, oh yeah, we're really gonna go for it because we think this is valuable. And then yeah, they'll have that nasty piece of Tupperware for $10. Like what?
Yeah, no.
You know, in their section, I don't get their pricing sometimes.
Yeah. You know, and it can be hit or miss, right? You know, one of my favorite things about that thrift store is the books they're trying to get rid of, they put on those shelves up front, and you get an entire grocery bag, as many as you can fit in a grocery bag for 75 cents. And every once in a while, you'll go, and they're like, it's really clear that they were just clearing out their collection of microwave cookbooks.
Yeah.
And so there's, like, tons of just garbage, basically. But then I've had amazing finds. Another book that I found, and this was in the cheap section, was a book called What Bird Is That? Which I think was from the early 30s.
Amazingly, I have a copy of What Bird Is That?
Yes. There's a Saturday Night Live sketch where it's like Kenan Thompson singing What's Up With That, I think. In the entire joke is that there's this ongoing theme that just gets bigger and more like people are dancing and blah blah blah, and now every time I say What Bird Is That, I hear it in that theme song.
Have to go look at my copy of What Bird Is That.
Yeah, the copy I got is gorgeous. It's obviously a library copy. It has like the label on the outside spine, which is fine. It's there are full color glossy pages inside.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend the Indigo Bunting is in there.
Oh.
So
but is the spoon bill? Probably not.
I wasn't looking. I didn't know.
Probably not.
Well, you never know.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Something that I don't think I mentioned before, the thrift store that I go to the most, the Village Thrift Store, started a rewards program.
Nice.
And Eric joined.
Yes,
joined.
I did.
Joining simply means typing in your phone number. Like, there is no complicated application process.
And I don't know why this never occurred to me, but the Village Thrift Store is blowing up my phone.
And that's what I was going to say. So years ago, when we first started going, but they had an email list you could join. So I joined their email list, and once a month they would send you an email that was like, this is just a test email. They never had any, it was never any information about a sale. There were never any extra discounts. It was always just a test email. Like, if you still want to be on this email list, do nothing. If you want to cancel, it made me laugh. But yeah, since they have started this rewards program, they are really taking advantage of the fact that they have your phone number now. Winter clothing sale, book sale, hurry in today sale. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's good. It's good that they have sales, but it just, it makes me laugh because I'll be like, again? Come on.
Well, the thing that kind of drives me up a wall, like whenever there's a book sale, like I'm like, oh, I'm interested. Like I, you know, I love when they have that, and their book sales are substantial. It's like all the books are like half price from,
yeah,
their hardcovers are usually two, their paperbacks are one, and you know, half off that adds up. The thing is, I'm thinking like, okay, if everybody out there is getting a text to say, hurry in and get this half price deal, I'm wondering what effect that's going to have on what kind of stock is available for the rest of us.
Yeah, I can tell you that I was at the three-story one on Saturday, and they had so many books, and there were just full boxes of books all around. I wonder if some of the reason why they're having a sale is because they're a little inundated. They just had full boxes of books that didn't even fit on the shelves.
Oh.
But the shelves were packed. Yeah, it was a little shocking, actually, how many books they had there.
Did you find anything good?
I did not, but I didn't spend maybe as much time. That's the thing. Sometimes when the shelves are so full, you get a little overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And that thrift is really, really getting popular, where at one time it was not as popular. So I don't know if I would say it was crowded first thing on a Saturday morning, but there were a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people milling around looking at stuff. So I didn't spend as much time on books as I should have. But
the boxes are challenging. Like whenever I see a box, it's so tempting because it's like, it seems like something could be good in there. I don't know that I've ever actually found something good in a box. It just feels lucky.
I have. And it was there. I found like some good magazines once, old popular science or mechanic or something like 20s, 30s, good.
Ooh.
But that was one time. And there's a lot of boxes. And it can also be like, oh, VHS tapes that people, you know, taped Murphy Brown on. I'll pass. Plus, they don't actually want you to go in those boxes. I mean, they're there so they can fill up the shelves. They're not looking for you to excavate.
And really, there's a part of me that's tempted in that case, like, is this really Murphy Brown?
Wink, wink.
Well, no. I'm thinking like, oh, it's somebody's birthday party. Like all the stuff that people used to tape. All of us who survived that era, all of us who went through that era knows that labeled VHS tapes, like hand-labeled VHS tapes, are rarely what they're labeled as being, I think.
I think it depends on your household.
That's fair. Were you a household of, oh, it's going to be properly labeled and it's going to stay? Oh, okay.
Yes. We were not a tape over somebody's episodes of whatever.
Part of it was like, if you didn't plan ahead and just have extra VHS tapes laying around, if mm-hmm. there was something you wanted to record, you would just sort of freak out and be like, well, I don't care that much about this Murphy Brown, but I really care about this thing that's coming on.
Yeah.
And so you end up, and then you're like, of course I'm going to remember what this is, and you don't.
Yeah, and then you have to go through like 20 tapes to find them out.
Well, or you don't go through them. Decades later, you donate them to a thrift store, and then you've got, you know, Mary and John's wedding.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there could be gold in some of those. Who knows?
Amen. All right. Well, we're quickly running out of time here. So thanks for catching up with us, everybody. I promise this will be the last podcast where I talk about bugs in ears. This is it.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Never again. Never again.
Nobody needs a nightmare.
Oh, no. No.
You can find us on Instagram at I Love Thrifting, L-U-V, Thrifting. You can find Eric on TikTok.
at Let's Go Thrifting 1970.
And we are on Facebook under ThriftyCast. We love to see your finds, hear what you're finding out there, or not finding. And, yeah.
I'm wondering if anybody has any actual good travel stories, like...
yeah.
Like, where they went to Texas and found, like, really great campy Texas stuff, which I did not.
Royal Whale. Who knows?
Yeah.
It could happen.
It could happen. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll be a little quicker next time.
Maybe.
Bye.